It's not that hard to fix.
Thank you.
Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, you created us in your image. Grant us grace to contend fearlessly against evil and to make no peace with oppression. Help us, like your servant Elizabeth, to work for justice among people and nations. To the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or, what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, today we remember and give thanks for Elizabeth, Princess of Hungary, a 13th century saint. She has an interesting story. At age one, she was promised in marriage to young Ludwig of Germany. When she was four, she was taken to the Wartburg Castle to be raised with her future husband. She was a serious child, very generous to those in need, and a devout Christian. Happily, Ludwig was very fond of her. A few years after Ludwig succeeded his father, Elizabeth and he were married. Their marriage was a happy one, and they were blessed with three children. Well, Elizabeth's position on the royal court enabled her to be even more generous to the poor. Once, when Ludwig was traveling, she gave away most of her own fortune and the supply of grain to the poor of the area. Fortunately for her, upon his return, her husband gave his approval. She also founded two hospitals and regularly tended the patients in these hospitals. She continued to give money for the care of children, especially orphans. And she and Ludwig also tried to find suitable jobs for those who needed them. And thus they moved beyond charity to empowerment. In 1221, Elizabeth put herself under the spiritual direction of a Franciscan monk. In the spirit of Saint Francis, he affirmed her commitment to those most in need. Some of her ministry was surprising, even shocking. Once she invited a leper to stay in their home. Ludwig returned home from a trip and was startled to find the fellow sleeping in their bed. When he found out what was going on, Ludwig immediately said that in helping the leper, Elizabeth was serving the crucified Christ. Christ. He recalled Jesus saying, "Just as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me." A few years later, while traveling, Ludwig contracted the plague and died. Elizabeth then left the castle to live in the city. Some think she was forced out because of her unusual assistance and advocacy for the poor. I guess we'll never know. But she found a home for her children and then devoted herself completely to the Franciscan rule of life. She built a small house near Marburg and with it a hospice for the sick, the elderly, and the poor. She committed the rest of her life to this ministry. St. Elizabeth lived a life of severe austerity and isolated herself from her friends, partly at the insistence of her spiritual director. Some thought he exerted too much control over her. So consequently, her health failed, and she died on November 17th at the age of 24. So we remember her during the month of November. Only 4 years after her death, the church began an annual celebration of her life and ministry. And since Elizabeth's time, countless hospitals in Europe, in the United States, and other parts of the world have been named in her honor. Now, I imagine that Elizabeth was quite familiar with the passage we just heard from Matthew. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." She obviously took this to heart. Elizabeth embodied a life of trust and gratitude. She clearly depended upon the mercy of Christ and his promise to provide for her. In compassion, she gave herself away. Well, we might think that she overdid it just a bit. We can't imagine how we are called to such a life. First of all, not many of us are independently wealthy and inclined to just give everything away. Even if we were, how could we even begin to live like dear Elizabeth? Her self-inflicted poverty seems almost irresponsible to us, especially when we are here to learn and to prepare so that we can do our part to end injustice and poverty. Why would Christ ask us not to be concerned about the basic necessities of life? In fact, I want to go back to those words of Jesus. I have some issues with him. I invite you to eavesdrop on a conversation I sometimes have with Jesus. "Jesus, you say, don't worry about your life. Why do you worry? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? Don't worry about tomorrow." "We hear what you're saying, Jesus. It sounds as if you think we won't get your point." "Your reasoning makes sense. Look at the birds of the air. Are you not of more value than they?" "Your reasoning makes sense. Consider the lilies of the field. If God so clothes the grass of the field, will God not much more clothe you?" "Your reasoning, Jesus, is filled with questions. Questions you ask of us. Questions you think we can easily answer. Is not life more than food, you ask?" "Yes." "And the body more than clothing?" "Yeah." "Are you of not more value than the birds?" "Yeah, I suppose." Can you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" "Well, no. In fact, worry will probably shorten our lives." "Okay. So what's the problem, you say? Why do you hesitate?" "Perhaps, Jesus, your phrase, 'you of little faith,' has something to do with it." Jesus, sometimes it is difficult to rest in your assurance, in your insistence that you care for us. Sometimes it is all we can do to hang on to what we've got, to maintain our sanity in the middle of the great rush of classes, work, papers, tests, and shifting relationships. Sometimes it is hard to trust that you are with us when our dreams crumble around us. Sometimes it is a wonder that we can let go of any part of our lives, for we think what we have and what we do and who we are give us what little security we can count on in life. So we continue to hold closely to ourselves what we claim is ours. Still, you ask us, Jesus, why do you worry? Why do you grasp for more? Why do you depend only on yourselves? In the quiet of this morning, we hear your promise. We hear you promise, Jesus. You say, with me, dear one, you will always have more than you can imagine. More time to ask questions, to struggle, to dream. More grace in which to rest on my promises, more love in which to rejoice. With me, your trust is not in vain. Moment by moment, I will uphold you. Day by day, I will provide you with what you need. So help us not to worry, Jesus. Help us to trust. Keep showing us the way. But you know how we are. For the time being, we'll worry a little bit, sometimes a lot. So help us even then to say thanks. Thanks for the abundance of your love, which you share so graciously. Thanks for the great joy you shower upon us, and for the hope that sustains us, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless me, the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May God, who is almighty and merciful, order our days and our deeds in peace.